traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I normally never have green puffs. I never have kind of like Linzer Torte or Sacher Torte or Apfelstrudel or whipped cream. But yesterday I had it all. Why not?
Beach day.
It was so much fun. Did you guys see the pictures?
Bro, who goes to the beach during the Super Bowl while LA's in the game, bro?
I know.
That was odd.
Who said rolling?
Who said rolling?
Who said rolling? I didn't know. Did someone say action?
Do you need that cue? Do you need that to happen? Otherwise, we can't start.
Just to put the pressure on him.
Yeah, I know. I'm taking notes, by the way. I'm watching how you're navigating.
Exactly.
He goes. Who's doing the sun?
Yeah, who's doing the water? Where's my water? What about the sun? You guys are slacking off on the sun. What about the mic? The mic is a little bit dry. Where's my seat? You know, so it's like the whole thing.
Well, he's sitting on a table.
Everything is wrong. You pretend everything is wrong, and we have to start all over again. But then everyone is kind of more aware of that. We got to be on guard. We got to do this now, right?
Who said rolling?
We are rolling.
Who's laughing?
He's a comedian, so he's usually making people laugh.
He's also high. He's also high as hell, Arnold.
Yes. Now I'm extremely nervous.
So far, it's not working.
But I'll get on to something.
All right.
So yeah, you pulled up a tabletop to sit on. Here we are, Venice Beach, Gold's Gym. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Arnold Schwarzenegger on a poster.
Unreal, dude.
Arnold, I got to be honest with you. I'm falling apart, man. I'm a mess. It's the end of Super Bowl weekend, week, bit of a bender. And here you are, I walk in the gym, 8 a.m. You're pumping iron. You really make me feel like a piece of shit, man.
Logan, you're not a piece of shit. You're just celebrating the day a little bit.
Too much.
Tomorrow you get with the program again and then you work out. Look, no one gets to where you are without working out hard and being disciplined and having a clear vision and the drive and having the fire in the belly and having that want power and that willpower and all that stuff. So today you can celebrate. Every so often you have to slack off like I did yesterday. I normally never have green puffs. I never have kind of like Linzer Torte or Sacher Torte or Apfelstrudel or whipped cream. But yesterday I had it all. Why not? Today.
Let's go.
Hit the abs again. Today we hit the abs again, right? And we broke the bicep. You're supposed to laugh at the comic relief. What is the matter with you?
I'm so sorry.
There you are.
Laughing. Very good.
We do have a live laugh track, anyway. A live audience here. Kev, if you could just do a quick pan of the set. Looks like we got some carpet blocking the sun for the next 10 minutes until it gets a little higher, at which point you two will have to raise it another 6 inches. That's interesting. Usually you do squat jumps, box jumps on those, holding up the...
He's also sitting on a table.
I know.
I love how there's weights on it and legit weights on it.
Yeah.
Where'd you watch the game, Arnold?
I watched it at home.
You did?
Yeah. We had a few friends over and it was really nice. You didn't know I had my commercial playing there, my commercial for BMW, iX, the electric BMW, because I'm a real fanatic about getting off fossil fuels. And making more cars, giving people a choice basically between the fossil fuel cars and electric cars and hydrogen driven cars and stuff like that. So BMW came to me like a few months ago and said, would you like to do a commercial for us for an electric car? We're coming out with one that goes from 0 to 60 in 4.6 seconds and it goes like 325 miles before you have to recharge it. I said, wow, this is really fantastic. And it has 524 horsepower. I said, I'm in.
Is this a brand deal? Right now?
Are you getting paid for this?
Commercial right now?
Are you getting paid extra to do it on this podcast?
Why?
Because people are going to buy it now. Our audience loves it.
Today
I'm not selling anything. I'm just trying to give you the reason why I jumped at it, because it was like very funny. the commercial, and it was like a good product. So I said to myself, I should do it. And so I watched it yesterday at the Super Bowl. It was the first quarter it was on, and it was very funny. I played Zeus. I played the father of Hercules, yeah. Right? And I played Hercules 50 some years ago, Hercules in New York, which
was a great movie.
Yeah, thank you very much. So when my kids didn't cooperate really well and didn't turn out the lights or didn't make their bed, I always said to them, I said, if you don't make your bed and if you don't wash your laundry and if you don't turn out the lights, I'm going to make you watch Hercules in New York 10 times. And they mean that the room was clean. They were spotless. Really cooperating spotless. Well, yeah, because they hated that movie so much, watching it over and over, I tell you.
Dude, it's got to be weird being you.
Imagine being his kid, what that's like.
I know, that's tough.
But you got great kids. Yeah. I'm friends with your son Pat.
Yeah. I know.
And even you got that brand new son-in-law Chris Pratt.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I mean, we're very lucky to have such a great, great man coming into our family. And Catherine is very happy. Yeah. Obviously, she's really in love with him, and they're now expecting a second baby. I don't know exactly what it's going to be—a boy or girl. But eventually, they would tell me, or they don't know, and they would just find out when the baby arrives. You know.
So cool, man. So family oriented. You had such a successful career, and it's interesting because you're super multifaceted too. Like there's almost like there's three Arnolds, right? There's like movie star Arnold, there's athlete Arnold, bodybuilder Arnold, and then political Arnold.
Yeah, the governator.
Which one is your favorite to be?
Well, I tell you, you know, as you get older, you discover kind of more different sides of yourself. You know, because when I was your age, Logan, I only thought about being the greatest bodybuilder. I want to have the biggest arms, the biggest triceps, the biggest delt, have the best posing routine, beat everybody and go from competition to competition, be the winner and become the greatest bodybuilder of all times. But then you get older a little bit and you go to the next phase and you say, well, I cannot do that forever. Mm. What's next? So then you say, well, you know, acting. My heroes, Reg Park and Steve Reeves, those guys that played Hercules, they went from bodybuilding into acting. So I said, maybe that's what I should do. So I started that. And that was, of course, as intense about that as it was with bodybuilding. And I started, you know, working on it on my speech classes and accent removal classes, acting classes, English classes, and all those kind of things. And I started working my way up until I got finally Conan the Barbarian and Commando and Predator and all this, and I was on a roll. And then, you know, you get the place where all of a sudden you have done so many movies where you say, you know, I'm not really that excited anymore to do another movie. Maybe I should do something else. And just at that time, they had a recall election in California to recall Governor Davis.
A total recall.
And so I said to myself, well, here's a good opportunity. I run for 2 months. It's not like a whole year or 2 years of running. I ran for 2 months and then it's the election on October 7th. And so then I jumped into doing that. And I really enjoyed the political life after I won and really had a great time. But then you get older after that, when you're finished with that, then you start your institute and you start the Schwarzenegger Institute and you start getting more and more into helping other people. Because, you know, when you're young, it was all about me, yourself, me. Yeah. Then eventually as you get older, it becomes more and more like, not just me, but we. Mm. How can we all be successful? How can we all be healthy? How can we all train? How can I inspire other people to train? How can I write more books about training? How can I have more seminars? How can I be out there more and inspire millions of kids to train and to get maybe into politics and to get into acting and to let them know that they can be successful? You know, what I'm saying is there's another side of me now that I discover, which is really caring to help other people. And there's the artistic side, you know, like from here I go over to my office and I paint with my daughter because it's Valentine's Day, so we're going to paint some heart shaped things and for, you know, for her mother and for her, and she's going to make them for me in order, and we just paint. So there's another side of me. So there's many sides that we all have, I think, that comes out as we get older, it seems to me.
Were you always good at balancing bodybuilding and emotional stuff and all that entire range of versatility, or do you have to work to get to a point where you can get emotional and paint hearts?
Well, I it is not so much emotional It's just that when you have children,
yeah,
all of a sudden you say to yourself, do I want to buy Christmas cards? Do I want to go out and buy birthday cards? Or can I go and paint the Santa Claus? Can maybe, I remember from my days when I was in elementary school and in middle school in Austria, we painted. So I said, maybe I should just get some colors and start painting, you know, my Christmas cards and my Valentine's cards and my Easter cards and birthdays and all of those things, and make an effort. And so I started getting into painting only because of my kids, not because of emotions or anything like this. It was just the kids. And so one thing inspires the other thing. And so then you discover that there's, you know, feminine side in you, there's a masculine side in you, there's an artistic side in you, there's a giving side, there's a selfish side, there's a powerful side, there's a weak side, there's a vulnerable side, there's a leadership side. You know, you discover all those different things.
But you have it. Sorry, it's hard to speak and to form thoughts, mainly because of my hangover. but you have the means and the curiosity to do all the things. Like your ability to evolve and adapt innately, I think, like I'm listening to, like, in short, you decided to become governor because you were bored. You decided to become a movie star because it was the next best appropriate thing, but you had the means to do it, right? And it's funny, I hear you talk about accent removal classes, but I feel like it's so you, and it played such a massive role in, like, what you ended up doing and the roles you ended up getting. But I think most people don't have that thing that they want to do more. I say it all the time. Life's not short. You just got to do more. And you're clearly climbing your second mountain, right? Your first being that of your own personal pursuits, goals, endeavors. And then the second being service, providing to other people, spreading your arms and using the things and the knowledge you've learned to be the best person and contributor to the world that you can. You have a mini pony running around your house while you paint. Like, you have a beautiful family. It's all the things. And you continue to grow, evolve, and adapt. Even, like, this podcast, which I found out today was your first, let's call it, like, Gen Z podcast, which we're honored to be able to, like, I don't know.
Have them on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, show them in an open format to an audience that probably maybe, I don't know, like, maybe they haven't watched a Terminator, which I find disgraceful.
Horrifying.
But, like, maybe a 7-year-old hasn't seen John
Goddard. Or seen Predator or something like that. Or Junior with Danny DeVito. Junior as well,
Junior, yeah.
which I found out that you were high on. You were stoned out of your mind. Is that true? Hold for plane.
Let's do that again because I think people maybe missed your question.
No.
Junior, Danny DeVito, great movie. Which I found out recently that you were stoned out of your mind on, high as hell.
Well, not the whole movie.
You have a great PR team, by the way. They're just like lighting up.
No. It's that guy. It's that guy with the notepad.
Yeah.
Sending the cars. They're talking about him getting high. Send a plane over quick.
It's not the whole movie of Junior. So right. What happened was, I was saying, and Jimmy Kimmel the other day, I was like explaining that Danny pulled a trick on me. You know, we both smoked cigars. And then after lunch, he gave me a stogie. A long, beautiful Monte Cristo. And after I smoked it, we went back to the set and we continued our scene. And all of a sudden, I forgot all my lines. And I forgot that I even did the scene in the morning. When they said to me, he says, Arnold, it's a continuation of the scene we did in the morning. I said, I cannot remember what I did in the morning either. I said, I don't remember anything. And so I realized after an hour and a half later, I finally got my memory back and I started remembering now the lines. And I said, okay, I'm ready now to do my close-up. I said, let's switch the camera around and all this. And I saw Ivan Reitman, who sadly passed away last night, I have to say. I'm really, really depressed about that. Yeah, terrible. He was 75 years old. I don't know what happened there. But I mean, in any case, he and Danny DeVito were always kind of smirking and going like... And I said, what's going on between those two? Well, obviously, Ivan was in on the whole thing. And I felt kind of like... terrible that I didn't remember my lines, that I'm wasting everyone's time. And but you know, they were perfectly fine and we just switched around and Danny did his close-up first and all this. And then I realized that Danny put some marijuana in front of the cigar, stuffed it in there, or had some visual effects guys or some of the people, the prop guys on the set do it for him. And so I got loaded and I was just forgot everything. So it was one of those things. So it was not the whole movie. It was this one moment, this one afternoon for an hour and a half that I had absolutely no memory.
One time I was so high, I forgot who I was. Do you know how scary that is?
I know. You're telling me.
Yo, on a movie set?
I know.
I've gotten high where, like, I'll literally be forming thoughts, and by the end of the sentence, I forgot what the beginning of the sentence was, and I'll just be, like, completely, I just stay quiet.
You're also in some deep shit right now.
Oh, I apologize. Why am I in some deep shit?
Just because you're a pothead, dude. Like,
I have issues.
You have issues?
Yeah.
Like, what are your issues?
I got into
It's you.
Wow. Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah, it's you.
Yes.
Exactly.
The issue is you.
Yeah, exactly.
You should be
you.
A therapist, man. I feel so much better.
You feel better now, right?
I feel great.
Yeah, you don't have to pay. Don't worry about it. You just have to go out and do 20 sets triceps.
Okay.
All right, good. And please never interrupt this guy.
We interrupt this program to bring you a word from our sponsors. As you guys know, I live in Puerto Rico now, so it's actually very important that I brush up on my Spanish. This episode is sponsored by Babbel. Babbel is the best language app because it teaches real-world practical conversations like for travel, business, relationships, etc. They're short 10-minute interactive lessons, and they have a 20-day money-back guarantee. 2022 is the year of self-improvement. Learning a new language is definitely the way to go, and Babbel is here to help. Walking around Puerto Rico, I've definitely felt more comfortable knowing that Kevin can speak Spanish for me. But eventually I will learn it. Honestly, Mike, do you know some of my favorite phrases in Spanish?
No. Would you care to tell me today?
Sure. ¿Dónde está mi esposa?
You know what I like? Me gustaría comer una hamburguesa ahora mismo. I just got my subscription. I'm sorry. I'm working on it.
65% off of yours and start speaking a new language today with Babbel. Thank you, Babbel. Back to the program.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I say we stay on this movie tip for a second. You have done, I mean, some of the most well-known, prolific.
Over $4 billion as a lead in movies.
Crazy.
The box office, yeah.
Movies of all time. My father is probably one of your biggest fans in the entire world. He's going to be insanely jealous that I did this. What would you say is the work that you're most proud of and that you remember the most intimately and that you love the most?
Well, you know, I think that overall, I don't want to pick a movie, because to me, the action movies were as important as the comedies were. And I was very fortunate that I could show that I am really good in the action genre and that I also could cross over and do comedy. That's very hard to do, because as you know, to cross over, no matter what it is, you know, it's like all of a sudden seeing Dustin Hoffman playing Conan the Barbarian. Won't happen, right? Because it's not believable. So the trick of it is, how do you make it believable that you as this action guy can actually be funny, or the circumstances can be funny? And so that, to me, I think I was the proudest that I was able to do that. And that's why I'm so upset about Ivan Reitman, the director of the movie Twins and Ghostbusters and all this movie, Dave and Junior and Kindergarten Cop and all this stuff, that he passed away, because it was Ivan Reitman that was in Aspen with me when we was up there skiing. And one night we sat together with Robin Williams, and Robin Williams and him said to me, you're really funny, Arnold. I didn't know that side of you. And I said, well, I said, you know, because in the movies you just see the serious Arnold that says, I'll be back. You know, putting the knife through the heart and saying, stick around. And all those things, you know, or kill someone and just say, please don't disturb him. He's dead tired, you know, and all this kind of lines. So I mean, I said to myself, this is what Ivan Reitman knew. This is what Robin Williams knew of me, but they didn't know the other Arnold. And so he then suggested, he says, you should do comedy. And I said, Ivan, if you write one for me and if you direct it, I could go and do this. I said, but I need the help. and I need the push, and I need someone that pushes me along with this and convinces the studios that that's what we should do. Because the studios kept saying to me, says, Arif, we're not going to give you a comedy because we make so much money on action movies. Why would we all of a sudden change? Don't fix what isn't broken.
Right.
So Ivan then helped me, and that's how we did then the first project, which was Twins. And that's when I broke into comedies. And Danny DeVito was extremely helpful also. And we had a good time. So I'm proud of that. But I think the key thing is I think that you have this in you, that desire to grow, or you don't. Because that's where it all begins. You know, we can talk about the titles from here to eternity. And I think that's why I'm also sitting here today and doing this podcast. Because I admire you guys.
Thank you.
No, I really do. Because I always say to the guys, everyone, I said, this is so great. These are ordinary guys from Ohio that go and says, we want to be special. We don't want to just be ordinary guys. And we are willing to put the effort into it. We are willing to make the sacrifices. We're willing to fight for it and to go and work for it and train for it and do all of this kind of stuff. And which takes hours and hours and hours of every day and discipline and all this stuff. And you guys don't just talk about it, you do it. Mm. And so it's so refreshing to have guys like this come on the scene, especially today with the social media and with the way things work, to do things in a different way than everyone else. And that's what I did. I did my whole way and road in my life was always different than everyone else's. And that's why I could relate to you and your brother so well, that you do things differently than everyone else does. You know, and I love that. It's so refreshing. So here we are sitting here. You know, I admire you guys.
Man,
and
you guys
admire me. And so this is really fantastic.
Dude.
Yeah.
I'm honored. That's a lot. That is a...
And we're doing the Slap Fest together. Flattered.
Dude. Okay.
Son of a gun.
Okay.
I mean, this is going to be big time because I've never seen this live.
Dude, I can't imagine being in that arena watching these guys slap the shit out of each other.
I know.
Let me tell you this and you this. I don't know if you know this. All right. So, okay, breaking. Here's the alpha. Arnold and I are presenting the Slap Fighting Championship in Columbus, Ohio on March 6th. You may have seen this event go viral online where two men or women stand across from each other and slap this shit out of each other. Slap for slap. It started in Russia. Then it moved to Poland. Then it got some infrastructure. Now they're bringing it to the United States. We're doing it at the Arnold Classic, your bodybuilding event, I think on the last day, and him and I are presenting. Why this is hilarious is because, as you know, I was supposed to go to Russia to enter the slap contest. I don't know if you know this, Arnold, but
yeah, I know, but you just saw the documentary.
The documentary.
Yeah, I watch everything.
Dude, we did a full-on script. We were going to go there and had scripted like a mockumentary about it. Like, he was going to get his head slapped off. You were going to enter too.
You were going to fall in love with a minesweeper, Russian woman that looked for old landmines in Russia. You were going to fall in love with her.
A full-on backstory.
We wrote a whole backstory, and then we didn't.
Well, because I slapped the guy, and I'm like, oh, this is a real violent sport. And also, what if that happens to me? You know, like, I don't know, not for me, but the guys that are participating, huge, massive. The guys headlining the fights, the one guy's name is Zales. He's 16-0. He's a professional.
You know, he's a monster.
He's a monster. Takes people's heads off.
Oh, yeah.
Versus a Hawaiian guy named Koa. I think they call him the crazy Hawaiian, who is like America's version of the fucking slap champion. So like, dude, it's going to be on Famio March 6th, pay-per-view. Him and I are presenting, which is going to be hilarious. But
it's going to be great because why this is the perfect event is because the Arnold Classic is a sports and fitness festival. And we never kind of choose and kind of have an attitude about no matter what the sport is. So people ask me, says, slap competition, why would you have that? I say, I got the same question when we had an axe throwing competition. And then they ask the same question when we had the Scottish Games competition, where they throw, when they carry around those heavy beams and then throw it. Say, why would you have that? Why would you have archery? Why would you have an event for people that handicapped, physically handicapped? And so we have everything. We have sports after sports after sports. We don't judge anything. We are only there to have people be able to compete and have people to watch and be entertained and inspired by watching all the sports. Yep. That's what it is. Yep. And we're going to, I know, we're going to have a great time watching the slap competition as long as we don't get slapped. And then we're going to watch them competing. They're doing exactly what they want to do, compete in this sport. And the audience will just love it, watching those things. Guys going down, because as you could see, as I saw in your video, how guys went down, passed out
they crumbled.
Because of a slap. And it's just dead. So people like the drama.
Yeah.
Then they pick them up and then they slap again. And it's just wild what's going on there. So I think the Arnold Classic will not only have the world's strongest man competition, and not only have the powerlifting competition and the weightlifting competitions, and the world's most muscular man there, and the most perfect physiques, and the women's competitions and all that. We will have it left and right from Friday through Sunday, those kind of competitions. And I'm so happy that you come there. You have been there at the Arnold's Classic watching it. I know that.
So here's,
and so you're going to be, I'll be back, right?
I'll be back.
Exactly.
I got a little sentimental story. So the Arnold Classic takes place in Columbus, Ohio. I'm from Ohio. When I was 11 years old, my papa took me to the Arnold Classic. And I got within this close of Arnold himself.
Wow.
On video. I remember you walked by, you were doing, you know, your little rounds through the crowd.
Yeah.
And I like scooted through and you walked by me. I may have even like touched your arm and I was like, Dad, I touched him. I touched his arm. And I looked for the video on Facebook. I couldn't find it this morning, but it is absurd how truly full circle life can be. Like, man, I can tell you when I saw you that time, I didn't know I'd be coming back over a decade later to present what I consider to be one of the most entertaining, fastest growing combat sports. So, I mean, kids, go for it. Anything is fucking possible.
That's crazy.
I'm telling you.
That's
I'm telling
sure.
you, this shit's crazy. That's He's sitting sure. right there.
Yeah.
And a decade ago, I was like, wow. And it's nuts, man.
But you see, this is the important thing. To inspire people and to let them know anything is possible.
Mm.
And I'm talking about not just people in Hollywood, but I want to reach to that little village in Poland,
mm.
that little village in Ukraine, in Russia, in China, in Africa, in the Middle East, where the poorest of the poorest people is. If they can watch this and they see ordinary folks can make it,
mm.
you know, I want to inspire those people there and say, you can do it. Just have a vision and have the will and just chase your vision. That is the most important thing. You can do it. Look at me. I come from a little Austrian village. There was a population of 800. But everyone said to me all the time, forget it. You will never make it. But then I saw Reg Park in the movies. And then all of a sudden I got inspired. You know, so I had a way of looking at the world through the movies. And I got inspired. And this is what we're doing here today. It's inspiring people. Come out and watch it. Look at Logan. Look at his brother. Look at so many people. Look at Muhammad Ali. Look at Mike Tyson. These are people that came from nothing and they worked their way up and it became something. You know, it can be done. So this is what it's all about, is inspiring everybody.
I love that message.
It's funny. It's just, you know, the people who are successful are all saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a through line to it.
Yeah, you can do it if you work hard.
Yeah. It's like a sacrifice and surrender. I think the hardest part for most people, and you always do a good job of like relating this back to the audience, is that surrender to the unknown, the uncertainty. Like, you know, it might not be super apparent right off the bat what's going to happen with your life, but
that's okay.
You have to surrender and then just sacrifice everything you fucking got to go get your shit. You're the epitome of it. My dad told me about your story when I was young, how you would train in between sessions in the war, right? Or you were in boot camp.
I was in the military, and I was a tank driver, and it was in the Austrian army. And I remember we were in maneuver, and at night, you know, we parked our tank. We first dug a hole underneath the tank that deep, so we could sleep underneath the tank without the wild boar going after us. And there was always the danger because we were surrounded by wild boar and stuff like that. And there was no enemy because it was just a maneuver. But I mean, so around 7 o'clock at night when it got dark, I then went and opened up this compartment in my tank where you have the tools in case your tank breaks down. But I didn't have tools in there. I gave the tools to some other tank driver. And I had my collapsible kind of bench that you could put the legs together and all this, and then do your flies. I had my dumbbells in there. I had my barbell blades and the barbell, the bar in there, and I started working out. And we all were working out like 2 hours before we went to sleep at night. So we were training, and then we were eating, and then we went to sleep. And the next morning we got up at 5 o'clock again to continue on with the maneuver. But it was like a daily occurrence. It was just, you know, all about, you know, I got to go and become Mr. Universe. It didn't matter if I was in the military. It didn't matter if it was a tank driver or that the food was shitty. You know, that we just mostly ate potatoes there and a maneuver and all this stuff. Nothing mattered. It was just, I got to train every day. So it was that kind of a discipline. So that's, I think, what your dad talked about.
Do you think having that goal helped you? Because oftentimes I find a good idea or a goal can plague me in the best way. It's all I care about.
Absolutely. I think that we don't operate well if we don't have a mission.
Yeah.
If you don't have a specific vision and a specific goal, because then you have something to shoot for. I mean, look, every single airplane that takes off knows where they're going.
Yeah.
Imagine you have the most sophisticated airplane in the world and it takes off and doesn't know where to go, right? Mm. It's not going to have a successful mission, no matter what. Mm. And so this is why it is so important to have a mission, to have a specific goal, because then every rep that you do, every workout that you do will get you one step closer to that goal. And you know why you're doing. You never ask yourself at 6 a.m, why the hell am I doing another 500 sit-ups? Why am I getting up at 5 a.m. and go to the gym? You know why.
Yeah.
I mean, I always knew that for every rep I did, every set I did, every squat I did, every bench press I did, every chin-up I did, every leg raise I did, was to get one step closer to becoming the world champion in bodybuilding. And it felt good. Mm. And I had a good time doing it. And I was smiling in the gym doing it, rather than like other guys that had this kind of a clamped face, you know, all pissed off looking that they're
doing
another set. You know, I knew exactly why I was in the gym. And still today, I come in here, I do my sets, I do that because I'm from 75 years old. You know, I got to go and stay in shape. I'm doing more TV shows. I'm doing a TV series. I'm doing more movies. I want to be in shape and I want to, you know, look according. It's already tough enough as it is to stay in shape. So you got to do it no matter what.
Back me or your favorite Barstool personality on the Barstool Sportsbook today and get exclusive boosted odds and the biggest action in sports. Check out our boosted odds under in the exclusive Bet with Barstool section of the app. Hurry, these exclusive boosts won't last long. You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or Virginia. To bet, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789. Back to the program.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Well, I was going to ask, like, do you? You've done it all. Why do you still come to the gym? You know, 75 years old, I mean, you did the Mr. Universe.
Well, for the same reason, you know, we talked about that. For the same reason as why am I having breakfast today? I had breakfast yesterday, I had breakfast 10 years ago. Why am I still having breakfast? Right? It's like,
it's part of your day.
Why am I still sleeping?
Right.
I slept 20 years ago, I slept 10 years ago, so I'm still sleeping
every night. It's so rooted in who you are.
Exactly. So it's the same as with training. Training is part of my life. It's that simple. Nothing will ever change until I die. I will be working out and I will be having a great time in the gym and I will be getting the pump and I want to feel good, you know? And like I said, it's tough enough as it is with when you get older, but you have to hold on as much as you can and you have to still watch what you eat and all of those kind of things. So it's all good.
No cream puffs.
And you know what's the greatest thing?
Cream puffs.
The greatest thing is none of green puffs. Well, that is great too, but that we are in America. Think yes. About this for a second, huh? You know, people, we know that there's a disarray, right? I mean, the Democrats and Republicans don't get along and there's the fighting on Capitol Hill and, you know, not much is getting done and all of those kind of things. But one should never, ever forget that we are still in the greatest country in the world, right? Because when I go overseas, people are still the day, just like 20 years ago and 50 years ago, come up and says, can you help me get to America? Can you help me get to California? I want to get over there. It's the greatest place. There's nowhere else I want to go. They don't ask me to go to China. They don't ask me to go to Australia. They don't ask me to go, can you help us go to the Middle East or to Africa? No, they ask me to come to America.
Absolutely. I was going to bring that up. You talk a lot about chasing your dreams and going after what you love and what your passion is. And California, for the longest time, has been a state that people go to chase their dreams. It's always been that, right? And I came out here 6 years ago and immediately fell in love with the state. Fell in love with the coastline, with the beaches, with the girls, with the weather, with everything about this state. And lately, there's been a ton of slander, a ton of bad talk about California, about how it's being run, about the status here and the state of things. What do you think is the biggest, having run the state at one point, what do you think is the biggest obstacle that we're up against as Californians right now?
Well, I think that the biggest obstacle is that we have a political kind of a situation where Democrats are basically running the state. And not that their policies are necessarily bad a lot of times, but I mean, what I mean is that there's no balance between Democrats and Republicans. When we get the most accomplished is if there's a good balance. And when people sit down and you meet in the middle and you get things done, just like when I was governor, I worked with the Democrats as well as I worked with the Republicans. And we got things done. Not everything, but we got things done. Never mind.
He's fired.
Your lighting guy's falling all over the place.
That's Dylan. And he's our producer.
We are not going to say
anything. He had a late night.
He's doing the best.
He goes, sup,
so this is the problem with California. Yeah, so we don't have a two-party system, so to speak, where there's more of a balance. And it's in the leadership thing. You know, we have had, for 20 years or 30 years, the homeless problem, and it doesn't get solved. Then you have the problem of the taxes going up and that's not being solved. Then you have a problem that we have, a spending problem and that's not being solved. So this, and then we have an infrastructure problem where we don't have the electric lines, the power lines being buried in the ground. We have an infrastructure problem that we don't have, the water system fixed, that we have a water system where we don't have droughts every year. And just really go and build an infrastructure that collects the water and keeps the water so that we have enough water. So there's a lot of the high-speed rail thing has been in the news a lot, that the costs keep going up and it's not going. So there's a very complex issue.
So there's a lot of problems.
But there's complex issues. They're right. Not easy to solve. But I think they're just easier to solve when you have two parties come together and solve those problems together.
Together.
So that's as simple as that. But as I said, I remember when I came to this state, it was the same thing. There was the major, major problems in America. There was 1968 where the big demonstrations with the Democratic Convention in Chicago, and there was the Vietnam War. Then there was, afterwards there was Watergate, and there was all kinds of problems that we had in America. But I still said, this is the best place in the world. And so no matter how bad we do, it's still the best place. And remember that California, what happened up there?
Yes, I'm saying. Now
But I mean, I think, foot, huh? No, it's okay. I think that the key thing is that we know, you can look at California also in a positive way, and this is that it is the fifth largest economy in the world. So we're not only number one economically in America, by having the greatest GDP of $3.3 trillion or whatever. But we are the fifth largest economy in the world, right behind China, Germany, the United States itself, right? I mean, just think about that. So we are really unbelievable in Japan. So those are the four countries that are ahead of us. Everything else is behind us. So this is for a state, really extraordinary. So yes, we have our problems, but it is a jewel. It's a jewel. And now I'm going to go to another jewel, which is my daughter. She's waiting in my office, painting. She's going to paint with me because it's Valentine's Day. So it's daughter's daddy kind of painting together. I hope you excuse me. And it was great to talk to you guys.
Amazing,
and let's do it again.
Have to.
And I can't wait to see you in Columbus.
Let's go March 6th, baby.
March 4th, 5th, and 6th, exactly.
Dude, we appreciate you. Thank you for coming on Impulsive. It's the number one podcast in the world. That's a fact. Arnold Schwarzenegger, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Logan.
An honor.
Thank you.
An honor.
I say we cut to that angle right now, the one pointed towards the sky. All right, so Arnold just went to go paint with his daughter, which I think is so cool. I love him.
Wow,
I
dude.
Love that guy.
He's incredible.
So I have just did a podcast called Unwaxed with Sylvester Stallone's daughters. Unbelievable, like beautiful, humble, smart, intelligent, like the quality of women that he produced was unbelievable. Like I could not believe it. I was blown away. And it kind of reawakened this dream of me of having a good family in this industry.
Yeah.
And watching them be so grounded and so cool.
And
sitting here with him, it's just, it could happen. You could have literally it all.
It exists.
Yeah.
It does. Like he's sitting here and I'm literally like, dude, you've had a successful career, a successful private life, public life, all the things. And I don't know if you know his kids, but they're stellar human beings, bro. Pat and Chris, Catherine?
They have Catherine. To be. They just ditched us for them.
No, but
we went to go paint.
It's
my
just
dad
the most...
doesn't paint with me. Dad,
do you know how much it
when's
cost?
The last time you painted?
When's the last time y'all painted together, Mr. Big George? Your with, son George.
He literally looked me in the face and said, "With who?"
When's the last? Hey, Big George, when's the last time you painted with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
15 minutes was what we were originally supposed to be given. Do you know how much it would cost to get 45 minutes of Arnold Schwarzenegger's time? Like that was that
dude,
was
he
incredible.
Doesn't, he doesn't do podcasts.
Nuts, dude.
Do
I don't even.
He's also like direct, has a meaning.
Purpose.
When you slipped, purpose. Bro, I was like,
oh, yo, Dylan, you fell over.
Dylan took a tumble.
Dylan, you.
Also, Jeff banged.
Wait, you didn't hear the bang in the back.
You ran into a wall?
With my forehead.
Are you good?
With my forehead.
Well, yo, listen.
With my forehead.
Listen, it's Super Bowl Monday right now. It is the least productive day on earth. People are not at their jobs right now. They are not at they
you
are not
have been at the beach. You would have been relaxed.
Hours in 4 days.
Total hours dog.
In 4 days.
Total hours of sleep?
4 days.
12 hours.
I was at 10 11,
max.
Yeah.
I think dude, I have like we have been up 70. Drake, Justin Bieber concerts, every after party, every suite, just running. And then we get the call yesterday, Arnold Schwarzenegger, 8 a.m. I'm sorry, what?
Said, huh?
What?
Roll the video of Logan asking you after the Super Bowl win.
Where the after parties? Actually, roll that.
And Mike goes, Mike, where's the after parties? And Mike goes, are you serious?
I know, I go, what are you talking about? I do not ever want to go to a party ever again.
Yo, that suite that we were in yesterday was
sweet.
Are we doing
thank you,
this?
Thank you to them.
Sweet.
Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, shout out Raising Cane's for
and
having
Todd.
Us at the suite. Todd.
No, that's a shout out.
Whoa.
I love
had
them
Raising
too.
Cane's?
Yeah, yeah. So.
I love them too. Todd, his whole family. Again, another like successful business, public life, private life. Like the whole family was so sweet. They were nice enough to give us tickets to the Super Bowl, invite us to their suite, which attracted the most clouded up group of
everyone.
People I've ever seen
everyone.
In my life.
It was because
everyone.
You went to Arnold's, I mean, Sylvester Stallone's podcast and
I'm
didn't invite us.
The fact that no one's inviting me, I'm calling everybody out here. Listen, when you get a girlfriend, this is what happens. You get on the do not invite list.
It's true.
Well, I wasn't even invited
but
at
first. I have a girlfriend and she didn't come. That's what happened,
because you
George.
Didn't invite your girlfriend.
That's what you have to do, George, sometimes.
But I want to be invited. What happened? Guys, I'm a great wingman. Watch this. Check this out. If a girl's looking... Okay, let's be real. If a girl's looking at you, right, I'll be like, yo, that guy, he's a good boxer. You know what I mean? Like, see what... Okay, maybe I shouldn't come out
Mike
with you
was
guys.
Mike was
but
invited
that's not
more...
even true.
Mike was invited morning of, if it means anything.
Yes,
you were invited
that's
today
correct. I wasn't...
for yesterday's Super Bowl.
I invited all of you guys to the beach.
Dude, it was Super Bowl Sunday, George. No one wants to go to the beach on
why
Super
not?
Bowl.
Nobody's there.
Okay.
Parking?
Okay, hold on.
Prime,
are we actually
prime.
Doing this? Are we actually doing this like whole thing of the of that Super Bowl? Because we have a story to tell.
What's the story?
About a certain rapper on a bus.
Oh
what
yeah.
Happened?
So okay.
Wait, can I say who's in the booth?
Yeah.
So Nelly is the rapper that he was talking about. What?
What happened
well,
with Nelly,
fine,
man?
What? Something happened, but let me tell you.
You see Logan's. You see Logan's sneakers.
Hey, you two guys. You don't say anything during the Arnold Schwarzenegger podcast. You bang your head. You fall over.
Well,
and this
I
kid can't get
him.
One
I
word out.
Any of you.
Let him say his words.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Are you done?
Yeah.
Joe Jonas, Sophie Turner, Drewski, French Montana, Shawn Mendes, Murder Beats, Theo Von, Food God, Mike fucking Malak, the Raising Cane's family and owner, and our accountant. Alex Smith,
dude.
And the One Direction
Neil, right?
Not to mention Jack Harlow. Like, dude, Geezy people were popping in and out all day, but before, crazy. Like, the most eclectic group of people.
Him giggling in my ear for no reason.
George is really on one today.
The
most eclectic group of people in one room that I've probably seen. And obviously, a lot of the suites are like that at the Super Bowl, but this one was special. But before we even got there, we got on the bus earlier that morning from the Beverly Hills Hotel. And I saw this man jump on the bus. And the first thing he said was, "Damn, they got two stripper poles in here?" And me and Jeff looked at each other and said, "Is that fucking Nelly on this bus?" Dude, we get to meet a lot of people in this industry. We get to meet a lot of cool people.
Yeah.
But when you see, when we in this age, and you as well,
you see
Nelly, E-I-E-I-E-I,
I would immediately start blasting the heat just so I could hear him say, "Is it getting hot in here?"
Bro,
and then
I did one worse. I got right on aux and threw on, "We going down, down, baby." Dude.
He has some slaps, bro.
He goes, nah.
Yeah.
Man, cut the shit, bro.
He was the guy.
And then, bro, Mike wasn't letting him
out. Well, I said two. I did two. But,
two of his songs in a row.
But then.
I had to text Mike and say, "Yo, he's not into it."
Mike is that guy. He's not interested.
He texted our group chat. He was like, "Yo, he's getting mad every
time." You know why? This is why I love our group. It's because we're like, dude, there's been so many times where we have to contain ourselves. I had Jason Statham right in front of me one time, and he had to pry me away from hugging him from his back. Because, bro, like, listen, I know I ain't shit, bro. Jason Statham is, he's a sexy man. How am I not going to hug him from the back and rub his head?
Mike, let's continue your story.
I'm sorry.
So, you see us all clowning around, and he was sitting in a group of people that was, you know, it's, by the way, once again, it's the morning before the Super Bowl. People are stoic. They're relaxing. But they see us, me, Logan, and Psycho Jeff in the front going nuts, turning up to music. He gravitates towards us. People love positive energy. They like to turn up. So he shows up, and he sits right in front of Logan. And we start this conversation. Hold for playing.
He actually was going after the alcohol, not you, Mike.
I didn't say me.
There was something about it. It's hard for me to picture Nelly on a bus just gravitating, dancing towards you, playing his songs.
He was closer to liquor, but he also could have gotten a shot and went back to his seat. Bro, we were turning up,
and everybody else was sitting there talking about business.
Still having not slept.
Right, still having not slept from the Drake party. So he sits down with us and start talking about bowling, start talking about gambling, he said, "You know who my favorite person in the world to smoke weed was?" So we're sitting there having this like crazy conversation with him. And Logan is sitting there and he goes along the lines of, I won't quote, a paraphrase. Nelly, let me tell you a little bit about why Air Force Ones are such.
No.
I know
what. There was a very natural.
I know what he said. He said these are 4 days in Super Bowl.
Got it.
Because the way they look. Zoom in right now. Like, they're just old and kind of decrepit. They're creasing.
These are only 4 days old.
And I was like, this is 4 days old after like degenerate Super Bowl party. Air Force Ones look like.
How many?
And then I was like, and it's crazy because I was like, "Yo, Jeff, you need to give me like 3 pairs of fresh ones every time I come back to the States." And Nelly's looking at me just like, and I think nothing of it. I'm like, I go, "Nelly, bro, like fresh pair of Air Force Ones, straight up. I don't know if there's any better shoe in the world." I go, like, I think straight I said, I go, "I think every person should have like 3 pairs of these just ready
to go." And I go, "Logan, are you sure they need 3 pairs and not 2
and
pairs?"
Logan goes, "Mike,
what are you talking about? Why two? Pairs?
I need 3. And I don't know. And I look at Nelly and I look at Mike and I'm like, he doesn't know if it's a joke yet or he's dead serious.
I'm like, why does it matter? 3 versus 2. They're shoes. They're a great pair of shoes.
And Nelly got real serious for a second. He goes, "I'm the reason you have those shoes on your feet right now, bro."
He made them popular.
100%.
He's never heard
Mike.
This?
Mike goes. He shows me the YouTube video, and you know what's it called?
Air Force Ones.
Air Force Ones, and I'm like,
out of all the things to talk about, why
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It was such a weird circumstance. And also, how the fuck did I not know that? And I'm like, dude.
And then, know, like, of course, Mike is like, all right, I got to play it. And Nelly's like, no,
the girl wanted me to play it really bad. The girl from Airplane Mode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sweetheart.
Yeah.
Real nice girl. Michaela, yeah?
Yeah, Michaela, yeah.
But then I did the same thing not too long after. We were walking through a crowd and somebody ran up to him like, Nelly, I got to get a picture with you. And I go, he's like, I don't have time for this shit. I go, just tell them to have their phone ready and do it in selfie mode while they walk next to you. He goes, you trying to tell me how to take pictures with fans, man? I was like, oh, shit. We are idiots. I go, we are idiots. We are idiots. But by the way, all love. Dude is the happiest, coolest, one of the coolest people I've ever met. True. All day long, we're hanging out with all the people in the suite. And all I kept saying was, where is Nelly?
We gotta go find
Nelly. We gotta find Nelly right now.
I'm like, bro, we're having a great time. Like, fucking Sway Lee's here.
Shout out Sway Lee. He's coming on. So here we got Sway will be on for sure.
That dude's fucking awesome.
Drewski will be on 1,000% in the next month or so.
Are we gonna get the two people that stood us up?
No. Well, I mean, one of.
Segue into halftime Super Bowl show.
Oh my God!
In the middle of the Super Bowl,
dog
breaks out one of the most legendary performances of all time.
Don't do another Super Bowl show. Yeah. Just never do another.
Don't do another.
Bro,
is it better than Bruno Mars?
Bro,
George.
Whoa.
George,
never getting paid.
George, are you insane?
I know.
What do you mean you're with him? That's why you fell over during the show, because Bruno, you say Mars. Shit like that. Bruno
Disrespect
Mars?
Disrespect that you're giving to now, legends that are as old as Bruno Mars.
Hold on, let's
by the way, shaped every bit of culture, music, taste, fashion that
here's the problem.
To this day.
He doesn't know
you
what
happened.
You
told Nelly about Air Force Ones. Don't come at me with culture. Don't you ever come at me about culture again.
The problem is George doesn't know what happened. By this point, everyone watched. He was on the beach playing fucking volleyball with his dad painting hearts.
By himself.
There was Super Bowl Sunday.
He goes, there was no one at the beach. No shit.
He goes, was fun. You missed it.
Yeah, man. Wish we could have been there, dude.
We should have missed Dre and Snoop and Eminem and 50 Cent.
Mary J.
Yo,
Blige.
Listen.
Mary J. Blige.
Yo, bro.
And Kendrick.
And Kendrick Lamar. One.
All right, it could possibly be as good as Bruno Mars. I'll have to watch it to make an honest decision.
But by the time this episode comes out, it's a 3-week old story. Yeah, so it's like, but yeah.
But it was cool being in the suite with all these people, and all of us were sharing this very special moment in our lives where all of us were equally as flabbergasted and just we knew we were all blessed to be there with each other watching a performance like that.
During the halftime show especially. In general as well, because LA has been tortured by this pandemic, dude. And people have been stuck in, just like everybody else, but we've, in a way, tortured ourselves more than anyone else. It made it impossible to go inside, made it impossible to go anywhere without a mask on or whatever. And to be in this suite with all these people back outside during this legendary Super Bowl halftime performance with LA in the Super Bowl, LA winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What a moment for Los Angeles, bro.
Yeah.
What a moment for Los Angeles and to be surrounded by colleagues, creators, artists, athletes, and all the people that play in this fucked up weird circle that we exist in. It was a legendary moment.
It could have been either way that night, because on the drive home from that incredible beach night, we stopped by that burger joint. And I saw, like, I'm not kidding, maybe 9 SWAT cars with them standing on the outside, but the biggest smile on their faces, because they're like, oh, we're okay. The city's not going to burn tonight. It's like they were waiting. They were waiting for it to loot, and then people are going to start
Which
breaking.
I think did end up happening, actually. I think they did do a little looting. David was telling me, but.
It's just a minor loot?
Yeah, it's just a minor looting. It took us 6 hours to get home.
Oh, my God.
Six hours?
I erased that from my mind. How dare you bring that back into my mind?
Traffic at the beach, by the way. Not trying to rub it in. No traffic at the beach. Primo parking and everything.
We police escorted in. It took us about 5 minutes to get to the game and about 12
3 hours. 3 hours.
Well, I think that's it, probably.
Yeah.
You're probably done.
Really stepping it up on the guests lately, man. Like, it's almost like another rival podcast, like, kind of forced us to step it up.
Imagine if Shaq showed up, dude.
Oh, that was the other thing.
Yeah, Shaq stood us up. Well, he actually could have sat down and stood me up. He's really tall, but
hey, nice.
None of Thank those. You. None of those.
Wait, did you, do you want to say?
None of those.
Do you want to say
he
what
said
happened?
Nice, he said
none of those kind of jokes.
Do you want to say what happened when we ran into
yeah,
him?
Yeah, we were at the Sports Illustrated party. Yeah, I saw him, and I fucking pressed him.
Well, wait, did you know you did it?
No, he was going to. And
Mike's like, yo, tell Shaq he did great on our podcast today.
I would have.
I was going to. And right as I was about to do it, he beat me to the punch. He goes, hey, man, sorry I couldn't come on your podcast today. And I was like, yeah, man, you did great. But he had already said.
Yeah,
he already sucked all the wind out.
Yeah.
And then
he M&M'd you.
I was looking up at him and I'm like, I'm just kidding, bro. You're Shaq. You could honestly do whatever the fuck you want.
And he goes, I know.
We'll accommodate.
You don't give a
whatever,
shit.
Whatever you fucking want. Dude.
We'll wait for you.
He didn't even give a reason. I go, what was his reason? He goes, there wasn't one. He just said, sorry, I didn't make it to your podcast. Hard stop.
No,
we'll do it next time. Like, just nothing.
No, we're going to get him on. He's fucking Shaq. But you have to understand, when you're dealing with a guest, like a caliber like that, these things happen, dude. Like, I take
zero
offense.
For sure.
Zero
offense. I was brushing my teeth very aggravated.
No.
I was like, how dare he?
And that Oliver Tree podcast.
Amazing.
Bang.
Changed my life.
Bang. What a show.
That was the best podcast I've ever done.
What a show.
Like, I like him a lot.
That guy's fucking awesome.
I was showing in our 3-hour drive back just constant posts from Oliver Tree on his Instagram. It gets even more ridiculous than he is as a human.
At one point he goes, I mean, the backstory that he goes and how deep-rooted his jokes are, his inside jokes. That he's a massive troll, but he lives permanently in that space. One part he's like, yeah, man, so I signed this artist under me. His name's Lil Ricky. It's a mad talented dude. And we're all like, yeah, fire. Cool, man. Yo, Lil Ricky's like an alien.
No, he is an alien. He's an alien. 7-foot alien.
He's a 7-foot tall alien.
He was telling all about how he was this great artist and all this shit.
Lives in a different world. His timeline and art, like, dude, that's why on the podcast, I was really nervous that people think I didn't like him. I was so fucking confused.
Yeah, 100%.
On what was happening.
He's a genius. That's what you need to know.
Yes.
If you know that about him, every other thing you do, you look at in a different scope. And once you're in on the joke, you see what he's doing, you're like, this guy is fucking brilliant. I did a deep dive on all the shit when I went home. I watched the music videos.
His biggest thing is his legal team.
Jeffrey. Which, by the way, is just him.
But there's a website.
Oh,
there's
my
every
God.
Bro, he
is
he
just
dude,
yes.
His dedication.
Every character is like
fully built out.
He's like
he is like that.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
As fucked up as he
it's
just
like Eddie
made
Murphy
that
plays.
He's actually
Tyler
accurate.
Perry, who plays all the characters. He just, you know what I mean?
Eddie Murphy
plays,
does it. Yeah. There's others that Mike Myers does it.
Like when I was looking at the slime. The print on the slime bottle, and I'm like, oh, he like wrote a backstory and has calories. He planned on saying the serving size joke. I was like, there's 3,000 calories. He's like, well, that's actually per serving. There's 2.5 servings,
bro.
Dude, like he had set up jokes. Like that's
dude,
incredible. Also,
but I loved when he broke out of character when you were still filming afterwards with him, and you could see a little, like, a little
you can break him. Like, you can break him by reverse Uno-ing him. How you, and I was doing it outside when we did did it a million. You got to make a joke that one's up his level and he'll break his
little,
character.
You get a little giggle out of him.
Correct.
You get a little
and then he resets.
That's
and
it.
Then he resets.
Because it's not,
and it's like a treat.
Really,
you're like, ooh.
It's not really a character. It is, but it's him. That's him.
That's who he is.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that podcast isn't out yet when this one comes out?
Yeah.
Yes, right?
Oh, that's a good build-up for them.
Would you be down to go to Vegas right now?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, let's go.
Can I come? please.
Are you bringing a... Do you have a Valentine?
Yeah.
Many?
No. Do you have... Yo, you got a Valentine.
Yeah.
And you too?
Well, you
I'm thinking about it.
Thinking about it.
Yours is funny though.
Yeah, well, wow. You know, well, things happen. All right, guys, that's it. Thanks for watching this episode of Impulsive. Hit that subscribe button. We love you. We really do love you. It's been great lately. The vibes are fantastic. And shout out to our team. Shout out to our team.
Yeah.
Dylan, Caleb, Christina, Caitlin, Jeff, everyone who participated. Obviously, Kevin, who's sitting over there.
David, anything? No.
No, because we've been running and gunning and going. And our team's been doing an amazing job of getting everything where it needs to be on time, proper. And Dylan, thanks for holding that shade there. I'm
sorry. I had you a personal one. I was just like, this the whole
thing. I know. I noticed. I was like, he's standing in front of the
I'm very surprised we made this makeshift work.
Crazy. That is absurd. All right, we're done. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.